Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Pack a Day podcast, episode number 375. Here for your listening pleasure. The content is for your listening pleasure, not listening to me. Obviously, I'm flying solo today. I'm rolling as a lone wolf, no Matub. It's just me, myself, and I. But really, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at myself as alone doing this because I got you guys. Anyways. Yeah, 375 episodes in, and if you were not living under a rock the past 2 days, the Packers, they had their 19th annual family night scrimmage, you know, where they practice in front of tens of thousands of Packers fans that fill the bowl inside Lambeau Field, and, you know, it's really for a lot of rookies and undrafted guys, it's their first exposure to playing at Lambeau Field, and it's their first exposure to playing in front of this many NFL fans in general. So, for a guy like Manny Wilkins, who an undrafted quarterback who is currently fourth on the team's depth chart, you know, the Packers, the veteran quarterbacks played a little trick on him. He ran out of the tunnel in front of over 56,000 fans, and he thought he was being followed by the likes of Tim Boyle, Deshaun Kizer, and Aaron Rodgers, but they were playing a trick on him, and Manny Wilkins was running out there by himself, but he enjoyed it. He got a laugh out of it. It kind of shows you these guys are having fun. Aaron Rodgers is having fun, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. When Aaron Rodgers is having fun like this, and he's smiling as much as he is, and he's cracking jokes, and he's messing around with Matt LaFleur at practice, and Davante Adams the way he has been the past week, the first week of training camp, it could be very dangerous for the rest of the NFL. Now, you know, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch. We're talking about a 35-year-old quarterback here who's going to turn 36 in December. But at the same time, we're not talking about any average quarterback. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. So, again, we'll get into that later in the show. I know Jacob and Nick touched on this yesterday, and that's the Packers wide receiver group. And it's a group that I tweeted Friday night during family night that I think it is the deepest that I've seen them in a while from a talent perspective. So before you come charging at me with your knives and your pitchforks and all that, from a talent perspective, not the deepest I've ever seen them, you know, in recent years. You know, this doesn't top the James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Greg Jennings group or anything like that. But from a talent perspective, this is the deepest that I've seen them in a long time, just because a lot of these guys are just making plays. And Aaron Rodgers said as much this past week. He said that there's going to be some really tough decisions to be made, especially, you know, at the wide receiver position as far as cutdowns go in September. Some of the guys at the bottom of the roster, they're making their case. They're making their presence felt in practice, whether the pads are on or off, whether it's a light walkthrough, it doesn't matter. These guys are making plays. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers a year ago, like, his tune has completely changed. Last year, he just absolutely destroyed, you know, some of the young receivers and the way they were practicing. He was very, very he was not pleased, okay, with how they were practicing. Jamon Moore, Equanimeous St. Brown, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he wasn't pleased with how they were practicing. Of course, he had nothing but good things to say about Jake Kumerow, obviously. That's run-of-the-mill stuff. Just another day at the office for Kumerow, obviously, but things are a lot different here in 2019. He said, you know, he said Marquez Valdes-Scantling has emerged as a leader as far as practicing the right way. He said good things about all of these receivers, all of these young guys. And, you know, like Equanimeous St. Brown, he said, and I quote, "EQ is a very steady guy. He's the same guy every day. He's a very smart, intuitive, attentive, detail-oriented guy, and I think he practices the right way," end quote. So he's obviously, I don't think he's doing that just to, you know, because he doesn't want to piss anybody off. He doesn't want to give, you know, a new head coach any bad vibes or anything like that. Or, new, you know, Alvis Witted, the new wide receivers coach. He doesn't want to give anybody that bad vibes, obviously. But Aaron Rodgers has never shied away from saying, you know, what he needs to say. You know, this is the same guy who we've seen take very subtle jabs like Mike McCarthy over the years or you know, voice his displeasure very subtly, you know, about various topics. But he had nothing but good things to say about these wide receivers. And some of the guys at the bottom of the roster, T.O. Redding, Darius Shepherd, Alan Lazard, you know, a lot of these guys, they're making plays in practice, and it's just going to make things very difficult. And it begs the question, you know, how many receivers are they going to go into the regular season with? That is going to, you know, kind of going to be the deal breaker. You got Davante Adams. I don't need to say he's a lock because he's obviously a lock, okay? Geronimo Allison, EQ, MVS, Jamon Moore, who might make things interesting. He's a fourth-round pick, and I don't think the Packers will give up on a fourth-round pick just going into his second season, you know, learning a new offense and everything. And from what I'm hearing out of training camp, he has improved as far as the drops go. That was a big problem for him in his rookie year. He was catching things with his body. He wasn't really using his hands. He has no problem creating separation, and he's gotten a lot better as far as catching the ball goes. So that's a huge stride for him. And if he's making those strides, at what point do you draw the line and say, oh, you know, he's shown enough to the point where we want to keep him on the roster as, you know, a developmental guy? Because if you stash him on the practice squad, I don't think he's going to last very long, okay? Now, outside of those guys, then you got Jake Kumerow, who is constantly making plays in practice. He's on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. He was a training camp standout a year ago. He's a training camp darling this year. He absolutely killed it during family night in front of 56,000 fans. Sorry, I turned into Mike Tyson for a minute. How long do you ignore that? And I'm just as guilty as anyone, because I didn't, when I made a roster prediction back in May, okay, granted this was back in May, it was like mid-May, okay, it was told super early, and I said that in the title. It was Jacobson's super early, unnecessary roster prediction, whatever it was, but it was very unnecessary. I didn't have Kumerow making the roster. I had Trevor Davis taking that final spot. So that had the Packers going into the regular season with six receivers. They could always go with seven and sacrifice an extra offensive lineman or, you know, an extra running back, which it's starting to look like they're going to carry multiple running backs. I mean, Aaron Jones has been held out in the last few practices. Jamal Williams has been held out. It's been Dexter Williams and Tre Carson really running the show. And Corey Grant, one of the newest acquisitions, he hasn't really gotten many reps. He's probably going to play a vital role in special teams as a return man, which could make things interesting for Trevor Davis, because he is the Packers' primary return man on punts, on kicks. So is he going to be able to hang on to a roster spot? But the thing is with Trevor Davis, he's making plays on offense now. And David Bakhtiari, the Packers' starting left tackle, he has even said that this offense is perfectly suited for Trevor Davis. Like this is Trevor Davis' calling. He's going into his fourth year. Sorry, I had to think for a minute. I had a brain fart. He's going into his fourth season. He was injured for most of 2018. He had a great year as far as returns go in 2017. 2016, he played scarcely on offense. He caught a touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons from Rodgers in that game where Jeff Janis was getting reps. And, you know, it was and Geronimo Allison kind of broke out a little bit that year. But, yeah, he's beginning to make plays on offense. He had a crazy catch over, I think it was Nidair Rouse, one of the Packers' undrafted corners last night, or on family night, Friday night, sorry. He elevated, went after the ball. The highlights are all over Packers.com, by the way. Or if you have a Twitter, you can just search up. I mean, the clips are everywhere. He's beginning to make plays on offense, and he has that speedy skill set that Matt LaFleur could definitely use and find various ways to implement into certain packages. However you want to get him reps. But there is no question right now that he's the Packers' most talented return man. And that hasn't been proven wrong yet. And that probably won't be proven wrong until the preseason. Packers play against the Houston Texans August 8th. They play every Thursday for the ensuing month throughout the preseason. They go to Baltimore the next week, by the way. Then into Oakland for week three in Canada. Technically, but you know. Anyways, and then outside of those guys, outside of that seven, that's where things are just gonna kind of really, you know, depend on the preseason reps, what these guys can do in live action when they have the pads on, they're playing in front of fans, they're playing in front of opposing defenses. Because the talent is there with these guys. That's why I feel like this group is just so freaking talented. And Aaron Rodgers likes him. That's really as clear cut as that is. Obviously, he's got his favorites. He loves Jake Kumerow. I don't know what else to tell you. But this group is very interesting. And I just think cutdown day is going to be very difficult as far as the wide receiver position goes. Because this is, I'm going to echo what I said, this is definitely the deepest talent-wise that I've seen in a good while. I feel like we need to talk about the Packers kicking competition a little bit, because this is Mason Crosby we're talking about here, okay? This is the Packers' all-time leading scorer, okay? And I don't know if you guys know, but the Packers have been a franchise for a pretty long freaking time, so that's a little bit significant. And he, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. He lost a couple of games off his leg alone. He's injured right now, dealing with a calf injury. He hasn't been able to practice. It's been Sam Ficken. The Packers signed him in the spring. He's been getting all of the reps at kicker. He's been meh. I think that's the best way to put it. He's been meh. Okay. He didn't have a great night at family night. In the bowl, in front of 56,000 fans, he pushed multiple kicks wide right. Now, the good thing about his night is that he hit 5 of his last 6, and one of those 5 was a 63-yarder to end the night. That ended the practice. That was the note that the Packers called the night. It was like after an hour and 50 minutes or something like that. It was a average practice time, you know, under LaFleur's watch. But it seems like Mason Crosby, he's winning this kicking job without even actually kicking. He hasn't participated in camp. He's still nursing that injury, and obviously they're taking every precaution possible. That's, as a kicker, your calf is pretty much your bread and butter, your entire, the core of your legs. That is where you're going to make your money, but he's winning this job by not doing anything. Sam Ficken, he has it in his grasp. He has everything. Everything is laid out in front of him for him to take this job and to end Mason Crosby's tenure as a Packer. And the Packers would save money if they, you know, made one of those surprising cuts at the end of August or early September, you know, during final cutdown day. You know, when if they decide to part ways with Mason Crosby, they save some cash in the bank and roll with a new kicker. Mason Crosby, he hasn't had competition at kicker since Giorgio Tavecchio in 2013, who, by the way, is still on an NFL roster. Forgot all about him. And then Thursday night, I'm watching the Hall of Fame game. The Falcons are kicking off, and who's kicking off? It's Giorgio Tavecchio. Anyways, that's just it's an interesting kind of battle to watch. You know, even though one guy is competing and the other one isn't. You know, it's just the circumstances surrounding Crosby and you know his what he has meant to the franchise over the years. It kind of makes it, you know, worthwhile. So, moving on, the scene is family night. Devontae Adams is lined up across Nidair Rouse in the red zone. DeShone Kizer at quarterback. In comes Jaire Alexander. He wants the rep. Rouse steps aside, Alexander comes in, takes Devontae one-on-one, Devontae beats him through the back of the end zone and, you know, catches a touchdown pass. It was a really nice throw from Kizer, by the way. But you know what? That speaks to Alexander's just the growth from year one to year two, and that just that cocky attitude that the Packers really need in their defense and that everyone seems to love. And I dive into this topic because Devontae Adams, Matt LaFleur, this past week, they said nothing but good things about Alexander. And, you know, Alexander, this past offseason, back in the spring, he voiced his aspirations. He made it clear. He wants to be an All-Pro this year. And I personally think it can happen. Multiple outlets has pegged him as the next breakout corner, the next big thing at the position. And it helps. It helps when every practice he's lined up across from Devontae Adams, you know, who's like one of the finest route technicians in football. You know, there is probably nobody better off the line of scrimmage than Devontae Adams right now. And, you know, a lot of people who hear that, they might call it biased. But that, look, watch Devontae Adams tape, okay? Everything he's done the last 2 years, hell, even 3 years, just watch it. Watch what he does to opposing cornerbacks off the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, we saw it at Family Night. He shook Jaire Alexander out of his boots. I don't know if it was on that rep I was referencing, but it was one play where Alexander was matched up against Adams, playing man. Adams just shook him out of his freaking boots. He beat him handedly off the line. But the thing about that rep that made it so special was that Alexander recovered quickly. He recovered fast. And if any of you follow me on Twitter, it's on my timeline from Friday night, late Friday night. So you can go back and look at it. There's a clip of it. But I love what Davante Adams did right off the line. But the thing that impressed me the most was Alexander's recovery speed. And, you know, he led the Packers in pass breakups last year with 11. He, you know, battled a couple injuries here and there. And he only played in 13 games. And he had to leave three others because of injury. So the Packers kind of need him to stay healthy, especially if he wants to, you know, make those aspirations real. Because he has the potential. That there is no question about that. The talent is there. The projection is there. He is going to be very good. He needs to stay on the field. And that's the guy who is going to be matched up against the number one receiver when they come to town. Okay, that's going to be the security blanket of your defense. You know, and Aaron Rodgers, he said it as much last week. You know, he said Alexander, he isn't scared. He doesn't have that itis. You know, when big receivers come to town, like he looks forward to that. So just having that mentality on the Packers defense, I think just kind of shows you how much it, like the defense as a whole has kind of changed ever since, you know, not since Dom Capers was fired. I'm not looking at it that way, but ever since Mike Pettine was brought aboard in January of last year, like the changes have been obvious. There's more grit in this defense. You know, they're like, for example, they signed a guy like Antonio Morrison last summer, and he was just an absolute vicious middle linebacker who was not scared to shoot gaps. He was not scared to play in the teeth of the defense and just tackle guys. He was not scared to get physical. And the Packers, they have more guys like that now. Za'Darius Smith, massive dude, he's not afraid to get physical. Preston Smith will just destroy you one-on-one. No more Mike Daniels. Obviously, he's now with the Detroit Lions, but he was another kind of embodiment of exactly what I'm talking about. It's just, I love what the Packers defense can, you know, what they are going to be able to do. At least on paper right now, this is probably the most impressive group that that they've had in the last few years. And look, all Aaron Rodgers has ever needed, if he plays at a sustained level, that Aaron Rodgers is just Aaron Rodgers, where it makes you go, okay, oh yeah, this guy's good. Now we know why this guy is, you know, one of the best in the league, one of the best ever. All he's ever needed was an average defense. But this, what the Packers have right now on paper, with the acquisition of Adrian Amos, with bringing aboard both Smiths, and the drafting of Rashawn Gary, who has been absolutely explosive in training camp. He was explosive on Family Night. Oh, and can't forget Darnell Savage. Packers finally have a formidable free safety who might be able to just lock down one side of the field. You know, once he kind of gets his sea legs under him and really gets accustomed to the, you know, the professional playing style, this defense has a chance to be above average. They have a chance to break that top 10 cusp. And if they can do that, and Aaron Rodgers can play just good football, his level of play last year will be fine if this defense can play top 10 football. That's the 4,400 passing yards and the 25 touchdowns and just two picks. You know, could do with a little less throwaways, obviously, but there are reasons for that. There's context for everything. This team, the build of this roster right now, and the attitude of this defense, Jaire Alexander included, that level of confidence that is absolutely contagious and absolutely just fills the locker room, they have the chance to be something special. Now, they haven't even played a preseason game yet. There's still a lot of things that have to come together on the field. This new offense with Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers still has to, you know, figure out who his guys are and kind of who is best fit for this scheme. You know, that's something LaFleur has to figure out. That's why Jake Kumerow, I don't think, is an exact roster, you know, an exact roster lock right now. You know, it's going to come down to whether or not LaFleur obviously feels Kumerow is the best fit for his scheme, regardless of how many plays he makes. You know, he might have guys that he feels are better fits. Who knows? Injuries can happen. That's me knocking on wood, by the way. Injuries can happen. Anything can happen. Haven't even played a preseason game yet, but the projection, it's sky high right now. So there are so many reasons to be optimistic right now moving forward as the Packers begin this coming week prepping for their first preseason game of the 2019 season. They have joint practices with the Houston Texans on August 5th and August 6th. So anybody going to those, attending those, look forward to them. J.J. Watt coming back to his roots in Wisconsin. It's going to be fantastic. Jaire Alexander against DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt against David Bakhtiari. It's going to be fun, and I envy any of you who are going to be there in person. So that will do it for this episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast. I was your host, Zach Jacobson. I say that now because I didn't say that at the beginning of the show because I'm an idiot, as most of you know. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, review. Did I say subscribe? This ain't YouTube. Be sure to like and leave a review on iTunes. Do whatever you guys got to do. I hope you enjoy the show. And we'll be back with a brand new episode for you Monday morning. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And go Pack, go.